gonna go into the word. I think I ended last time. I think I ended last time with Psalms 37:25, where it says that we'll never see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Right? And that's when I believe that's right about where I left off. Perhaps. Yeah, Derek says yes. And I said that we are not on welfare, we are the welfare. Hallelujah. Whether we've been or are a recipient of it, we really need to understand by the Word of God when we read that scripture that we are not dependent upon it, but instead we are, that God is ultimately providing for us, and we can trust and rely and lean on that. And so that's about where we left off. And so I want to pick up sort of with that thought, and we're going to probably share a lot of scriptures tonight. They won't be on the screen because there's nobody in the hole up there tonight. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn, or if you take notes or whatever, because we're going to zoom through probably a lot of scripture tonight, as we try to do on Wednesday nights. Glory. And we said faith does not deny the facts, it just changes them. I think that's one of the last statements I made as well. And so right now, we might need to be operating in faith with all that we've got going on. What's that, David? Mm-hmm. I know some people are being stretched, and somebody said to me, well, I won't tell you who. I'll just say it's someone close to me said, I think you've done lost your mind. And the truth of the matter is, if we really want to get technical, I said, the truth of the matter is when we came to Christ, we already did lose our mind. The Bible says, I lost mine, but now I have the mind of Christ. So I said, well, thank you. That just means that I have the mind of Christ. But that's the truth. If you're operating in real faith, most people around you will think you've lost it, because you're not able to see. Although you may see in the natural what they see, you see it differently. You see a different outcome. And so that's why faith doesn't deny facts. It just changes them. All right. And so we've got to stay in faith. All right. Be a people of faith. All the things that we have going on is a result of faith. Somebody believe God for it. All right. Most of us that are here, even our walk with God, all that we have and all that we are a result of faith that someone had, right, in us and because of us and a lot of the things that we accomplished. So I want to begin just by sharing a little bit about the two kinds of knowledge that we have in life. And first, we all understand what I've already said, our five senses, right? What we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, all of those things, right? There's that kind of what we could call it five senses knowledge, where we know what something is based on our five senses. I can look at something and I know that that's a chair, right? You can look and know that that's a piano or a pulpit or any of those things. We can smell, unless you've had COVID, and then maybe you can't still smell, right? You can taste, maybe. But through our senses, what I love, I've been wanting to pull the greatest prank on my mom since she can't taste or smell. It's just give her something foul and she wouldn't know it. But I won't do that because that would be cruel, wouldn't it, Cynthia? So we won't do that on a Monday in the office. But I've thought about it quite a few times. In fact, this past Monday specifically, but we didn't do it. I was in rare form. There was a lot of things going on Monday, and it was just one of those days. And so if she's probably, well, yes, she's watching. I just saw her name. Hallelujah. I'm in trouble now. In other words, there's that physical sense knowledge, right? We know certain things based on our physical senses, right? But faith is something that we cannot rely on those physical senses. In fact, faith will often contradict what we see, what we hear, what we touch, all of those things. And so we can't operate in that realm. Sadly, though, statistically, that's where most Christians operate, is in that physical realm. And so their faith is entirely based on what they see, hear, taste, all of those things. And so we never get beyond it, so they're never able to really see God move any bigger than that. I was praying the other day. In fact, a lady from the food bank emailed me today, and she said, I want to share something with you. If this isn't confirmation, and I just thought, look at you. Girl is not involved in church, not opposed to it, just not. But she's speaking back to me things that I've said to her in our conversations. And so how God's using her, and I was praying, and I said, God, if you'll just use this Dream Center to just prove to people, if nothing else, who you are and that you do what you say you are, I said, you know, that's one of the greatest things from this. And there are people like that are going to be watching, and unbelievers who will be watching and just say, look what God did. with all of these things. And she's an example of that. But it goes beyond our five senses, that when we're talking about faith, it goes beyond that. And so let me make this point. What's revealed in our five senses doesn't direct our decisions and our choices. What's revealed, in the five senses doesn't direct our decisions and our choices and the outcome of our life. That's really important. Listen to what I said. What is revealed in our five senses, what we see, hear, taste, smell, touch, all of those things, isn't what directs our decisions and choices and the outcomes of life. I know we want to believe that they do, but if we're a blood-bought believer and we're going to operate in faith, those things cannot dictate what's happening. And most of the time they do. It's whether the job's going good or whether it's going bad, whether we stay, right? It's based on things that are regarding our five senses, what something looks like, if we're happy or not, right? If we're content or not. Those are the things that often direct our decisions. But really, when we break it down, what faith really is, and I'm going to share a lot of scripture in a few moments, that when we really break all that down, those are the things that should not be dictating our life. Am I making sense? Okay. You looked like you were wondering there for a moment. Okay. All right. Just, I don't want to lose you or anything. Because why? The Bible says the final word, it says heaven and earth, what? Will pass away, but the word will not pass away. And so there are things that naturally that we can see, hear, touch, taste, smell, that they're going to go away. And so we can't base decisions on those things that are going to be here today and gone tomorrow. But he says his word will not pass away. And so if we're going to really get to a place, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when we really get to a place where God wants us to be, it has to be based on the word of God, all right? So that we're based on, we're making decisions out of eternal things, not temporary. And if we make the mistake of making all of our decisions on temporary things, temporary situations, circumstances, things that are within my five senses, then we're going to be disappointed. Have you ever noticed how as Christians we're happy today and depressed tomorrow? I can't be the only one that I've thought, Lord, I must have a mood problem. You know, I can have a great day today and someone will look at me wrong. And Jesus help them. No, it's not quite that severe, but there are times, Derek. I'm telling you, if there is one place I have to go and be prayed up and ready, and you want to know where that is? Walmart. Lord Jesus. Every time I go unprayed up, let me tell you, it's like I face the devil. That place drives me crazy, all right? Yeah, amen. That's the answer to prayer right there. Michelle said, curbside pickup. That's the truth. Amen. And yet I've found myself that I can have a great day-to-day walk in faith and tomorrow feel like a truck hit me and have no faith. And we almost see this as sort of an epidemic among all of us as Christians. We're good today. Some of you were believing for the Dream Center and you felt good. Now you're like, he has done lost his mind. Right. And we're having a struggle with it. I want to tell you, it's not anything wrong with your mind or your mood. You know, I've heard people make comments about because they're happy now and sad later and, oh, I must be bipolar. No, rebuke that. And the reason that you can't say that about yourself, I don't care if a doctor diagnosed it or not, that's the reason you can't is because the Bible says that you have the mind of Christ. And therefore, he is not bipolar, therefore you are not. There is no condition, no thing like that, that a doctor can put on you that you need to receive as a believer. You might be being treated for something, but it's only temporary. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that the word of God remains. Amen? That heaven and earth, all these other things, they're just temporary. They're going to pass away. But he said the word of God remains. And so our faith and what we're going to believe on, we have to stand on that. Because if we don't, we're going to become whatever we're told we are. Right? That's why you can't, it doesn't matter what diagnosis we get. And I'm not saying that we need to use faith as sort of this thing that we operate in to avoid facing anything. No. I'm saying we need to use faith anytime we're facing something in the physical senses of our life that is contrary to the word. That's why the Bible says, by his stripes, I am healed. So that is me having to operate in faith anytime I'm walking and dealing with something in my body that is not healing. Now, it requires not just faith, but revelation to believe that. To believe that God means that for you and not just a select few. And there are people in our churches, there's people I know that believe that God's will was not to heal everybody. And I can't be in agreement with that, because he didn't say that in his word. He said that it's by his stripes we are healed. All right, all of us. So it's available. What it is do you have the revelation to receive it for yourself and the faith to stay in faith, right? I've shared stories, and some of you have heard them, but we've prayed for people. We laid hands on a woman. Her leg began to grow in church. 4 inches it grew. We witnessed it. It was happening. Literally, my hand was on her knee, and we could feel the tissue moving and jump. I was about to come unglued. And then can you believe the rest of the church was like, those of us in the front, we were like having a spell or something. And most of the people was just like, oh, that's cool. You know, unmoved by it, because they saw it as though the faith was reserved for someone, but not them. But you need to get the revelation that's available to you. I don't care whether it's a migraine headache or diabetes or whatever it can be. That's the God that we serve. And through this series, the whole purpose is to reveal that that is a part of his character. What did I say in week one? God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. It requires faith. That's why the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. So it doesn't matter anything else that you're doing. You are not pleasing God. We can volunteer and do all the things we do, but if we're not going to operate in faith, he is not pleased. Hallelujah. So we've got to be a people in faith. Doesn't matter what you're lacking, missing, or whatever is broken in our life, we've got to stay in faith. Sometimes I've found myself, whether it's a trip to Walmart or whatever it is that sets me off, that I've got to sometimes quarantine myself, not because of COVID, but because my mind ain't right. Sometimes Lois and Mom and them will say, what's wrong? Are you okay? Because I'm quiet. No, I'm trying to get myself in order. That's most of the truth. Most of the time, that's the truth. Because something triggered me and is making me step out of having the mind that I should. And if you stay there, you'll make a bad decision. And so a lot of times, you know, around these folks working, they'll drive you, you know, to where you need to shut the office door for a while, right? David understands. He lives with her. Hallelujah. We pick on her because we love her. The truth of the matter is we do have to do that, right? Sometimes we have to get away and just command our mind to get back where it needs to be. I do have the mind of Christ. I'm going to throw that kind of thinking out of my mind. I'm not going to allow that to trigger me and send me down a place where I shouldn't be. The Word of God says, the Bible says, the Word of life, my word is life to those that find it, and health to all their flesh, right? So our brain, our body, all of it, it's flesh, all of that. But the Bible says that we have to be a people that are walking not by sight, but by faith. Amen? So any emotion that comes in, whether it's a diagnosis from a doctor or anything, that is not according to his word, those are the things that we have to reject, absolutely. And because it's not a state of mind, what the Bible really says is that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So the reason I said that most of the time we have a good day today and a bad day tomorrow is that is how one of the ways the enemy keeps you and I in defeat. Come on, it all starts in the mind. 1,000 times you've heard me say, where the mind goes, the man goes. And so the reason the enemy comes to trigger our mind, every sin first begins with a thought. We thought about sinning long before we took the action, right? Before you step out of your car and scream at somebody, you thought about it. A lot of time we say, oh, I spoke before I thought. No, we thought, and then we spoke. And so the enemy comes to get a hold of our mind. So the Bible says a double-minded man. It's unstable. So if the enemy can have you having a good day today and a bad day tomorrow, you're unstable in all your ways. That's how he gets the victory over us. And that's how we end up not walking in victory. Amen? And so that comes immediately into connect to our faith. My ability to walk in faith is challenged then when the enemy comes in to cause me to be unstable. If I'm in faith today and he knows tomorrow he's going to trip me up and I'm going to lose all ability to think and operate in faith, then he's winning that battle. I'm not going to succeed in obtaining what I was believing God for, because I'm all over the board, right? any more than if I go hunting and I try to shoot a gun without aiming. And I shoot here and there and there and there. We might hit something, but not our target. And yet that's exactly how the enemy gets us when it comes to our walking in faith. He causes us to be double-minded in all ways and every ways. He'll use our physical body. He'll use pain. He'll use Lois. He'll use somebody. He'll use a traffic. He'll use something. Our spouse, yes, hallelujah. And he'll use them to cause you and I to be up, down, and all around and not consistent. Amen. One of the things that I believe about faith, you heard me say it when we made the announcement about the Dream Center, is that the whole goal of the Dream Center was about life stability. And isn't that interesting that when you really understand faith, that's exactly what faith is, bringing stability to your life. That's what he wants. The reason that God wants you and I to operate in faith is because then at least we're consistent. Then you'll know. You'll know someone as a real person of faith when we don't see them lose it in the midst of a chaos. They're just consistent. They're believing in the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to have that life stability where we're stable. We're not. What's the Bible say that we are to be steadfast, immovable saints? And the enemy comes in to cause us to be movable, where he can move my emotions and my mind. He can cause me to be here and there all within a few minutes. I mean, I'll be honest enough to say my mood can swing quickly if I'm not careful. And that's what the enemy wants for us, is to get us to feel like we're having victory in an area, and then 5 minutes later feel like we're defeated. Remember, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the things that we're believing God for, we're not really going to possess or take possession of as long as he keeps us unstable in our mind, in our thinking. Amen. We're going to get our mind back through faith, by faith, with him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lois, we have the mind of Christ. Because either we're walking by faith or we're walking by sight. I tell anybody who goes over to the Dream Center, to what's the school, will be the Dream Center, I said, you've got to go with a mind of faith. If you don't go. I'm true. And it's, I mean, don't get me wrong, the building itself is structurally good. It's just when you take away ceiling, flooring, you know, it can be a shock to some people. And so when you have to put all of that back, most people just see dollar signs, right? I did too at first. Right, and so it takes faith. And so we remember that you were either walking in by sight or by faith. There's no middle ground. We like to believe there's a middle ground. We like to believe that about a lot of things. But the truth of the matter is there isn't. You're either in faith or you're walking by your five senses. It's one or the other. And so God wants you and I to be able to walk in faith and stay in faith. All right. Listen to this. I wrote this down. Faith perceives as a real fact that which is not yet revealed to the five physical senses. I like that. Faith perceives as a real fact. That's why people who are operating in faith, doesn't matter that their checkbook may say negative $109. If they're operating in faith, they don't see that. I mean, they see it. They know it's there. But it doesn't faze them. Some of us, that fazes. Hallelujah. But faith perceives as a real fact that which is not yet revealed to the five physical senses. Meaning, you're believing for it and you're saying it is so, even though it doesn't look like, smell like, taste like, or touch like it's there. That's what faith does. That's why when we do altar calls and stuff, I don't like a lot of people around, because I've learned the devil comes to altar calls. Unbelief comes to altar calls. You know, I believe in having two or three agree, as the Bible says, but I've also learned among the two or three, there will always be a Judas, there will always be a Thomas, there will always be somebody that the enemy will use to just break up what's trying to transpire. And so faith perceives as a real fact that which is yet to be revealed to the five senses. That's why we can say, even though we're operating in pain, that we have a belief that we're healed in spite of the pain, in spite of the negative 109 in your checkbook or whatever it may be. you can operate in faith and stand on His word and believe what it says, because then your physical senses, they'll catch up. They'll catch up, all right, because they'll see that it'll come to pass. Because faith has revelation, faith has perception. And what all faith really is faith is you and I opening our eyes to the truth of His word. That's all that faith is. It's opening your eyes to the truth of the word. And if you believe that God is not a liar, then it's believing it. It's believing what the word says. All right. And so it needs to be come down, and we need to make it as simple as that. I think sometimes we make faith a lot harder. But if you believe that God is not a liar, then you need to believe His word and what it says for every aspect of your life in every possible way. Hallelujah. We're gonna start believing God for more things and seeing things manifesting in our lives that we haven't seen before. I'm gonna jump through some stuff that I was planning on sharing with you because can't see my clock down here, so you're all in trouble. Not really. Turn to, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 16. We'll start there. Matthew 16, verse 18. I'm going to read it out of this Expositor Study Bible, King James, but it's just a little slightly different. Watch this. It says, "And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, I want to focus on the first part. We'll look at this probably again in a little bit. We need to understand what happens to you and I when we start really getting that revelation knowledge that we need to be able to operate in faith. All right, and it's explained, I think, well here when Jesus speaks. He says that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Stop there. That we become a rock. Remember, we were talking about stability. God needs the church to be stable because there's a lot of crazy stuff in church. There's a lot of weird, crazy churches, and they're not stable. Meaning that they'll believe something today and something different next week. And every time, the new preacher, there's a whole new belief statement. You know, you ask a lot of believers what they believe, and they couldn't tell you. Or why they believe something. They can't tell us. Why does your church do that, right? They can't explain it. And what God wants for you and I, the same thing He said to Peter, He said that we're to be a rock, and upon the rock that He'll build our church, meaning a stable place, not wishy-washy, not something that's going to be able to be washed away with the storms of life. Here's another indication that we're not a rock. When chaos comes, when the condition of the church was really revealed through COVID-19, come on, somebody, because we weren't ready for it. We weren't prepared. I'm not saying we can't listen and all those things. Yeah, we need to listen to what they're saying. I'm saying we weren't prepared. And to be a rock means you're prepared. You're prepared no matter what comes. And it took us all by surprise. Some of us had to close for a while, right, because we weren't ready. I'm throwing myself in there. We weren't ready. And God says, upon this rock, I will build my church. So we need to be able to look at ourselves and say, is there stability in our church? Is there stability in our walk? And that's what He's looking to do is through you and I, as we get revelation knowledge, He wants us to be stable in all of our ways, to bring stability in our life, to cause you to be a rock. So I don't care what bad news we get. I don't care what the outcome is on June 15th. If all the media comes or none of them comes, right, that we're going to be a rock. steadfast and immovable, because through whatever other means, the news will get out. That's just how it's going to happen, right? And so I'm thankful. I just started praying the other day. I said, Lord, I thank you for KDK. I thank you for WTA. I thank you for Fox. I thank you for the Washington Post, all these people that are going to come. And I started thanking you, Lord. We have favor in their eyes. Before I even I was on a conference call the other day. I said, Lord, thank you. I have favor before we ever get on it, right? And then God starts opening doors. Because I want God to understand that whether it's that we're not relying on the media to be our source, that he is our source. So we're just going to thank him for them. Thank him because he can close them down tomorrow if he would like. And so we need to remember that he is our source, and that is going to enable you and I to remain as a rock. No more wishy-washy, no more lack of stability. God wants to make us stable now more than ever. The whole purpose of the Dream Center is to bring stability in other people's lives. And we can't do that if we ourselves aren't stable. Right? The reason we do are partnered to do the Monday night NA meetings and the Friday and the Saturday ones is to bring stability in people's lives. Because I believe in that. Everybody deserves stability, and everybody who's fallen can get up again. Right? Every one of us. And so that's the whole purpose of the Dream Center, is bring stability in somebody's life. Help them get up again. Thank you, Lord. He goes on to say, you're being built by God to be his church. We need to begin to look that everything that we're going through is him building us to be his church. We'll say, why am I going through this? Because he's building you to be his church. He needs you to be a problem solver and an answer for somebody. That's why Paul can say, I count it all joy. Because they had an understanding that the church now, we just think, oh, I'm being persecuted. We don't know what persecution is. I mean, we have no idea because we haven't read the Bible then because we just don't get it. I mean, there's real persecution. These people and folks have been through all through Scripture. He wants to bring stability. He's trying to build us to be his church. And so all the things that we suffer count as joy. He's building us to be his church. He's building us to be a people that can help others to be the real church, not just come to church, but be the church. Because he dwells in us, amen? And we're to be the house of God. He goes on to say, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, against the church. Now, the word gates there, I like to get into the word study. The word gates there literally means authorities. Oh, Lord. And so when it says, and the gates of hell, or the authorities of hell, in other words, he's saying that he wants to build you and I to such a capacity and to such a degree that we become such a mighty army that the great church, that we become the great church that cannot be prevailed against. Meaning whatever comes against us or at us or whoever talks about or whatever thing the enemy would throw at you or whatever the government would do against the church, the gates or the authorities of hell will not prevail against it. And how many know there are, just like we are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, there are ambassadors for hell. I believe that the devil has people on assignment that work for him, and that they come to steal, kill, and to destroy, and that they come against the gates, right? They come to try to prevail against the church. God wants you and I to be able to be so steadfast and operating in faith that we're not moved, right? That we cannot be a people that are shaken by anything that's happening in our nation. I don't care if it's COVID or the election or any of those things. We just got to be not moved. Just not moved. We can't be panicked because there's where the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'm preaching to myself now. I'm telling you, there are things. I'm one of those. I'll shout back at the TV. Michelle knows. After Brandon knows, there's times I've had discussions and I'm screaming at the TV. Right? Because the devil's trying to get me to lose my mind. And that's exactly what he wants because we're unstable then. Unstable. Let me think of it. Let me put it this way. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but story of Peter. Jesus was on the water. Right? And Jesus says to Peter, you know, come. Peter steps out and begins to walk. And then what happens? He sinks. Because he started in faith, but he didn't finish in faith. Man, that is the church. That's why I said it's not that we need more faith, it's that we need more revelation, more understanding that who he is, right? If he would have kept his eyes focused on Jesus and what he was called to do and what was really transpiring, but instead he allowed himself to be distracted by what was going on around him. Distracted by the fact that, oh, he's like, I'm walking on something that I'm usually sinking in. Uh-huh. And so immediately his senses took over, right? As most of us would. I'm not one that believes that Jesus walked on the water and left Peter swim to the boat. Yes, I believe that. He grabbed him by the hand, brings him back up. Why? Because that's the God that we serve. That's a part of the character that we understand about him. He didn't make him swim out of a potential drowning. No, he takes him by the hand, he brings him back, right? You and I, we've got to start in faith and stay in faith. All right, how are we going to do that? It is you and I having an understanding and renewing ourselves, our minds with the word. It's constant. Right? The Bible says that his word will not return to him void. Meaning whatever word he has sent out, that he has spoken out, the word that we read, it won't go back to him until it's accomplished what it sent. Which means the only thing that's holding the word up from being fulfilled and manifested in your life is you. God's done his part. Now he needs you and I to have the revelation and say, I believe that that's who God is, therefore I'm going to walk in faith and trust it, right? God's done his job, and if it's not manifesting, then I'm not doing mine. I want to see it come to pass in my life. Thank you, Lord. 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Look at that. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So it's faith that gives you and I the victory. Faith. In the face of all opposition, it's faith. And the faith comes from the revelation of his word. That's why we can't just read the word and just think, oh, it's great. We need to read the word and get revelation from it. That's where I believe meditating on the word, as he says, day and night, is what's really going to help you and I. Allowing us to meditate on it and get the full understanding, all right, of what God desires to do in our lives. What he wants to accomplish in our lives. Thank you, Lord. I want to move on to a little something different, a little further than I had thought about going tonight. And probably going to end up maybe in Matthew and Psalms. Faith. Faith is not just an incident. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is not an incident that's reserved for when we lay hands and pray. Faith is not an incident of any other kind where it's just something that we use or do at a time. Faith itself is a lifestyle. It's a way of living, constant, steady, right? Immovable. Faith is not something we do just when we have a problem. Faith is not something we use just when we're in trouble. Faith is the way we live. All right? It's the way we live. It's a lifestyle. Right? That's why the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. We often, and many times, we use it just as a moment, temporary thing. I'm hurting. Faith. Right? There's a bill that comes in the mail. Faith. Right? Whatever it might be. And we use faith at that moment and not necessarily as a lifestyle. Learning that it's a part of every day, every moment of the day living. All right? And so that's really the faith that works. If you want to see things start to happen in your life, stay in faith. Just don't start in faith. Like when a service were Sunday, you come out of there And, you know, you could believe God for anything, right? It seemed that way. Stay in faith.
Right.
We got to renew our mind, right? So we're not a double-minded man and being unstable. Stay in faith. I don't want to do that. Faith itself. Faith is not a passive thing. It's a possessive thing. We'll get to Psalms 112 in a moment. Listen to that. Faith is not a passive thing. Faith is a possessive thing. Because it takes. Faith takes what God says to you and I and takes it as our own. That's why it's possessive. That's why I believe that when we're really going to pray and believe God for something, we can't try to be cute. Right? In the church. And we try to be proper or whatever. Right? But when you're operating in faith, it's aggressive. It really is, Lois. It's saying, I believe that what your word is true. By his stripes, I am healed. It means I can't say, Lord, I just thank you that your word says by your stripes, I can be healed. No, it's taking it and owning it and believing that it is true for you. Right? It's taking every promise. Right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Lord, I thank you that you deliver me from them all. Psalms 34:19. Right? It's owning it and saying it's possessive. Lord, I thank you that you're delivering me even now from this. There are many afflictions, but I'm being delivered. I am delivered. I call it to be done now in the name of Jesus. Right? It's a possessive thing. Don't be passive when you're operating in faith, saying, Lord, I just hope this comes to pass. No. No, Lord, I believe, I know that what you've said is true and that this will come to pass. It will be so because your word says so. I remind God of his word all the time in prayer. Right? Things you've been asking me to pray for, that's all I do. When I pray, I just remind God of his word, right? How many have ever had a parent say, if you're good or you get A's, I'll get you? And what do? We remind them of it. We're good at reminding mom and dad about something we want, right? We had a pony. This is just a side story. We had a pony as a kid, a lot of animals, and we ended up selling it. And it became a family joke. Still to this day, I'll rub at my dad's, you know, I'll rub him about it. And say, you know, we sold that pony, and I never did get my pony money. And it's just one of those things where I make him believe that he owes me, and he can't remember whether he really gave us the pony money or not. So it's one of those things, you'll get your pony money and then some one day, you know, like that. It's one of those things, I'm good at reminding him about something he promised. We're good at reminding someone. If someone says, hey, I'll take you to dinner, right? I'm there. I'll see you there. We're good at reminding them, hey, I thought we were going to go to dinner. Yet we're reluctant to do that with God. He wants you to remind him of his word because, you know, it's important. It's one, it helps you renew your mind. Helps you stay in faith, and it lets him know that you know his word anyway, right? So I remind God all the time, Lord, I thank you that your word says that it's by your stripes that we're healed. I thank you that, God, you promise in your word that above all you desire, that, God, you want for us to be prosperous and be in good health. So, Lord, I rebuke sickness. They will be in health according to your word because you said it. You spoke it over their life. And then I just walk away and expect it to be done because he said it, not me, right? That's important. That's important. So be possessive, not passive, all right? We can be passive about a lot of things in life, but not when it comes to what we're believing God for, what we're expecting to come from him, all right? Psalms 112. Psalms 112, verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of his upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in the house, and his righteous endure forever. This is a good chapter just to pray. I'm not telling you, there's some good stuff here. It says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Verse 4, unto the upright then arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Verse 5, a good man shows favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed. He has given to the poor. His righteous endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He will gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. This is a psalm for today. All right. I was going to read it out of another translation, but Do you? Just hold it for now. All right. It is just a good reminder of who he is, right? And why we need to be a people to stay in faith, that he is for you, that he's not against you, that he is with you, working for you, right? Standing by you, that whatever comes against you, right? God's coming against it or them, right? Thanking God that I don't have to war against whatever or whomever is against us, that God is going before me. It goes back to our Good Shepherd series, right? That's the God that he is. It's a good reminder for you and I. And when we understand and remember that's the kind of God that he is, and that's just one small example out of all the scripture that we could look at, then it's easier for you and I to stay in faith and not have little faith. I've learned this. Little faith doesn't last long. All right? It just doesn't. Right? Any more than a little fire doesn't last long. Right? And so that's why we need to have larger, bigger faith. Bigger faith, right? Goes back to the story there with Peter. Right when he was walking on the water, and he began to go down. Right, what was it Jesus said? I had it here. Let me turn in my word so I can quote it for you. Yeah, I'm referring to Matthew 14. If you want to turn there. Matthew 14. Chapter 14. Let's look at verse 28. I already mentioned it, but it's good to refer to it. It says in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Stop there. I wanted to stay on that just for a moment because Peter wanted to be able to, in other words, when we read that, Peter wanted to be able to walk in the same level of faith as Jesus. And that's the way that we are, right? He wanted to walk because he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you, right? Allow me to do what I see, what I believe I'm seeing you to do, right? And so that's why I said he had enough faith to get started, but he didn't have enough to finish. And look what Jesus said. He said, Peter, why did you doubt? Right? Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? What Jesus was saying is, why didn't you stay in faith? All right. Why didn't you stay in faith? That's really important. And I know I mentioned that, but I don't want to get off of that because I think it's paramount. Why didn't you stay in faith? Or why did you doubt? Why didn't you stay in faith? That's when he quit looking at the Word of God. He quit looking at what he knew to be sure and allowed circumstances to produce fear, right? Circumstances where the Word of God will produce faith. Circumstances will produce fear. But as the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. There's that sound mind again. The enemy comes to produce fear to cause you to not have a sound mind. Right. The enemy uses bad news, the news, whatever. There's all sorts of, it's different for all of us and what it takes to trigger us. But the Bible says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. I recognize any time that I'm not walking in love, power, or a sound mind, you can always trace it to fear. Always. Afraid of something. You say, I'm not afraid of anything. There's something that's causing you to lose your mind. Well, causing you to lose your peace. You might not see it as fear, right? But it is hidden by something. Fear is the root. It's disguised by something else. Right? There's a lot of things in life that's like that. And so God has not given you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. When you're struggling to walk in love, when you're struggling to walk in your power, your authority, and you're struggling to maintain your right thinking, look for fear. What is it? What are you afraid of, right? When we are not walking in faith, when we're saying, somebody this week was kept saying something and it was just, you know, there wasn't faith, and finally I said something, right? And when I finally said something, the reason I said something is because what they're verbalizing is rooted in fear. And if you're not careful, fear will corrupt your mind. It'll corrupt your life. Fear grows tentacles, right? Fear is one of those things that, you know, people sometimes need delivered from because they're living in such an extreme amount of fear, right? God doesn't desire that. He desires that you prosper and be able to live life in health. He says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Right, I don't want to live my life in a manner that I think that I'm going to lose something, die, or everything's going to be destroyed. But I want to live the abundant life of God. And so that's a big player against our faith, believing that you need to believe. Don't just come and worship God and believe that he does great things for everybody else and you're getting the leftovers. God wants you to believe it for you. Nobody in the kingdom of God should be getting leftovers from the king's table. It's available. Everybody's got a seat. Right? All of us. And so, but a lot of times we have that idea, that belief. I hear it in the way people talk. The way people will say, hey, will you pray about this? They're believing, though, if God can, he can just give me whatever crumbs are left over when he's done giving to you and everybody else. That's sort of the way they make it sound. Because the enemy has beaten us to a degree of just such fear that we're believing that we're less than or little, right? And so that's why Jesus said, Peter, why did you doubt? Why didn't you stay in faith, right? Why did you allow fear to overcome you, right? What's the Bible say? The entrance of the word giveth understanding, right? The entrance of the word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. We need the Word of God to bring light, right? To give understanding. Right? We need it. It'll help us to understanding, because without the Word of God, I'm simple. That's what I like. God calls me simple without the Word of God, right? But it's going to bring light. It's going to bring revelation to you and I, right? It's almost like what I believe, reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word is like standing outside in the dark of night, right? Looking at the stars, and all of a sudden there's a big flash, right? And you see something, and then there's another one. Have you ever been outside when a storm's moving in and the flashes of lightning let you see what's around you just for a moment, right? And the Bible says that you and I need to, that the entrance of the Word giveth light, right? It gives us light. He also says in the Word of God that we need to remember, right? The word remember literally means to take all of those revelations and put them together. Right? When it says that we need to remember his word, it means that there will be little revelations that God gives you and I, or visions even, and you have to put them together. What the enemy tries to do is use fear to dismember our memory. Have you ever stopped and thought about all the things that God has really done? Moved, blessed, the way, all the things he's answered prayer. The enemy comes to try to dismember that way of thinking. Right. There was a time I was going through something and I was praying, but it was not working out. In fact, I was really starting to think, I'm like, God, your word says you're for me, not against me, but it sure feels like you're against me. I was having a pity party. And I could not remember all the other things I'd seen God do. It was like it wasn't even present. People would say, well, don't you remember when? No. Not that I didn't really remember, but it was just the enemy had dismembered my mind and my way of thinking to the degree that it didn't seem as big anymore. Don't you remember when those 10 people got healed? I remembered, didn't seem impactful. Why? Because the enemy had dismembered my own thoughts with fear that God wasn't going to come through for me. So I was operating in this belief, maybe I'll tell you the full story when we come back next time, about what it really was and how God turned it around for good. That's why it's important that we meditate on the Word, because meditation on the Word will keep my mind right. It keeps me operating within the parameters of faith, staying in faith, so I'm not like Peter, to where I start in faith and I don't finish in faith. What I see an epidemic in churches like ours, you know, Spirit-filled Pentecostal churches, so to speak, is that we're really good about being in faith for like 5 minutes. Okay? Growing up, I know what that was. When they would start having altar services, all the ladies of the church, I mean the mothers of the house, you know, in their beehive haircut, they would get around the altar and they could pray. And if you needed anything, it was about to happen, right? And growing up, though, what I began to see is that faded. And we can believe God for about 5 minutes. And then that's it. You'll see those same people outside of church and, oh, I'm going through. I just don't know. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, because they're not staying in faith. A lot of people talk about the condition of the church today. It's not anyone's fault except for the fact that we haven't stayed in faith. We don't even teach faith anymore. Right? Beyond that, what I say at week one, it's not more faith that we need, it's more revelation. It's teaching people how to get revelation. Right? What happens Sunday with a word that comes forth and then their interpretation that brings forth revelation? It's because we've allowed things like that and the gifts and the move of the Spirit to go to the side. The church has no more revelation. And the reason they have no revelation is because there's no faith. We're believing whatever we're being told. We need to be able to look at the news and be like, that's a lie. I'm not kidding you. I believe that's the kind of people that God wants us to be. That's what it is to live in the kingdom. You can hear it, and you will know not because of your senses, but because of your spirit that it's a lie, that it's not true. That's fake, right? You can have pain in your body, and sometimes you just got to say, that's a lie. Because the Lord, your word says, I am healed. If we begin to do that, I'll tell you, our lives will begin to take such a drastic turn, a U-turn like you've never seen. Our churches will change, right? There would be we would experience revival because people were going to operate with a revelation understanding of who God is and being in faith, right? We have cute prayers, and our churches, and I'm not meaning to, you know, get on a soapbox, but our churches are designed more for entertainment than they are growing you into the kingdom of God. Look around. Our churches have changed so much that it's really an entertainment factor. It's having the right Facebook and the right live stream network, and it's about having the right thing, and all of us need to dress the same in church, and let's make it cute, fun, and make it like a club. And if we can do that, we'll get you to come. But that's not building a kingdom. The reason that those same people are committing suicide at a ridiculous rate in the church, by the way, because we're not establishing kingdom principles in them. We're not teaching them about kingdom authority. We're not teaching them what it is to walk in faith. We're not teaching them how to get out of that double-minded way of thinking. Right? We're not teaching them how to get out from who they used to be, that they're no longer them, but they're new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. We're not teaching them how to lay down that old self. Instead, we're teaching them how to be cute, how to have a cool worship team, right? So we can all be as cool and stuff as Derek, right? Wouldn't that be something if I started dressing like that? Oh, Lord. Then you'll know I've lost my mind, right? Right? When I first met him, I called him Hollywood. I forget where we were at. We were somewhere. And funny enough, that was his nickname back when he lived in Illinois. Okay. But we put an emphasis on, nothing wrong with those things. I'm saying we put an emphasis there. making sure the preacher looks cool and everything's right and all of that, and there's no kingdom being built,
right? Nothing.
The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffered violent, but the violent take it by force. What does that require? An aggressive, possessive faith.
Right.
That's what it requires. That what we're attempting to do as a church and with all these organizations is aggressive and possessive. It's saying we're not going to let our community go to hell. It's saying we're going to put an investment. What's over $1 million anyway? I mean, big deal. To God. To us, that's a lot of money.
Right.
God has nothing.
Right.
Bible says he owns a cattle on a thousand hill. All of it. So to God, he's just like, yeah, sure. I had a brother send me a text, and he said, you need to be ready. He said, you need to be ready. And he said, I want you to prepare your church to be ready to receive checks in the amount of $100,000 at a time. And I thought, like, come on, man. Don't give me hype, you know. Next text message come through. I could show you. It's funny. Next text message comes through. He said, yeah, I know. Crazy, right? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Long pause, and I still didn't say anything. He's like, you there, O doubting Thomas? And I said, yeah, I'm just taking it in. He said, yeah, I was praying this morning. He said, you need to be ready for that next level of faith, which is exactly where we were going to get into, that kind of next level. I know what it is to get a $10,000 check. I know what it is to get a $30,000 roof put on a church. I know what it is to have people, you know, hand you a car, pay off a car. I know what those things are. God says, but be ready for next level faith. Understanding that you, the only thing that's limiting you is your belief in who I am. Think about that. The only thing that's limiting you and I is our belief in who he is. Is God big enough for this?
Right.
And I don't make it a habit. I don't ask God for things that isn't a part of his kingdom. I just don't do that. I know a lot of people don't name something, claim it, believe God's going to give them an escalator, but whatever. That's on them. I ask the things of God if it has to do with his kingdom, and I have no problem doing that, whether it's something financial or a need or a tractor or whatever it may have been over the years. I have no problem doing it because it's a part of advancing his kingdom. And the reason I'm so confident that all this is just fine, the Dream Center, is because it's building his kingdom.
Right.
Not ours. It's not about the checkbook of the church, because we every time it starts getting nice, Lois gets mad. We just give it away. God speaks, or there's another need that comes up, or we expand something, or the school, right, the other bill. It makes her so Nancy and nervous. I'm telling you, it's constant. She has to stay in faith. But it's not ours anyway. The Bible calls us to be a good steward. That's all.
Right.
I'm just a manager, but it's not ours. That's why, you know, what's a big checking account for a church going to do? You're managing and holding it for what? Right? For what? Oh, it looks nice. Makes the church feel good, right? I had an aunt that died and left a couple $100,000 to a church locally in Fairchance, actually. And they wouldn't spend that money for nothing. Nothing. The church split like 4 times over it. Because they didn't want to spend the money on anything. Not on carpet, not to build on, not on souls, not on outreach, not on helping the poor. What does that do then for anybody?
Right.
It's about building the kingdom. Right. And so we've got to be able to be that people. Have a nice account if you want to. But Lord, at least operate with a kingdom mindset. And help people, right? Build the kingdom of God. That's what I believe. So we got to stay in faith to do that. That's one of the things God's doing with us. He's going to make sure y'all stay in faith. And he sent me to make sure you do. Right? If nothing else, that's what this is all about. You're going to learn to be, operate, and stay in faith like never before. All right? Never before. So you stay in faith and then keep your eyes open to watch what he's going to do, what he's going to open to you. What he's going to reveal to you, right? Pay attention to things like Sunday that happen when God sends just a quick but simple word, letting you and I know that it was an opportunity Sunday for you to receive whatever you needed. It was an open heaven. I mean, it was confirmed by her and then through what God had shown me in the beginning of the service, right? And so God was saying, hey, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm available. The smorgasbord is open. What do you want? Some received. Maybe some didn't. But if you left and then you started giving in to what your senses told you, now you're a double-minded man in all your ways. Ah. That's why it's important for you and I. If you hear a brother or sister, and I mean it, say it in love, but say, hey, that's not faith. It's not you correcting him, it's just course correction. Haven't you ever noticed sometimes a kid needs a little nudge, like, hey, you're getting ever too close to the road. So you nudge him over, you know? I do that with my dog when I take him out. Sometimes he wants to get beyond where the leash will take. Sometimes you and I need to do that with a brother or sister in the Lord. Say, hey, that's not faith. Get behind me, devil. Right? We need to do that because it will help you. It will help them because I want someone to help me when I'm not in faith. Saying, hey, that was really great what you said, but that's not faith. That's important. Don't be double-minded because you play right into the devil's playground. Because where your mind goes, the man goes. Amen? I think we'll stop there because it's a good place to stop. And we're going to go into some... I wanted to get into the really remember, dismember part, but we're not going to get there tonight. But next time. There's just so much... of faith. I did a school of faith years ago, 12 weeks. Nothing but just faith. Faith, faith, faith. And they were 2.5-hour classes. I mean, you know, you could just, Cindy's like, really that much on faith? There's so much to it. We chalk it up to be just this much of our walk with God. But it was amazing. All right. So a lot to do with faith. We'll pick it up next time. Hallelujah. God's good. He is faithful, and lots of things are happening. Glory to God, and we're excited. So, we'll be back Sunday morning. Some of you we might see before then. My daughter's coming in. My youngest, she has graduated high school, and so having a little graduation party this weekend with her. Looking forward to that. Can't even believe it. Where did the time go? When your third kid is graduated and headed off to college. And so I'm looking forward to that. So that's where I will be Friday and some of Saturday and whatnot. But so pray, and she has a safe flight coming in tomorrow. And looking forward to it. So, hallelujah. She won't be with us Sunday, though, because she flies out at 5 a.m. So, yes, back to Texas. So, but we're glad that she gets to come in and spend a little time. It's been a few months, so all right. But we'll still be around. But please be in prayer over the Dream Center. And again, if you want to help in any way, anyone online and that wants to be a part, see Cynthia or email her, cynthia@freshfirechurch.net. There, that's easier for some people that are not here tonight. All right, hallelujah. Can we pray? And then we're gonna let you go and enjoy your evening. It's still early. You can go enjoy the sunset. Praise God. Let's stand. Glory to God. Faith, David, faith. Come on. Right? We're going to help him stay in faith. Hallelujah. That's right. Let's pray. Father, we thank the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Look at that. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So it's faith that gives you and I the victory. Faith. In the face of all opposition, it's faith. And the faith comes from the revelation of His Word. That's why we can't just read the Word and just think, oh, it's great. We need to read the Word and get revelation from it. That's where I believe meditating on the Word, as He says, day and night, is what's really going to help you and I. Allowing us to meditate on it and get the full understanding, all right, of what God desires to do in our lives. What He wants to accomplish in our lives. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to I want to move on to a little something different, a little further than I had thought about going tonight. And probably going to end up maybe in Matthew and Psalms. Faith. Faith is not just an incident. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is not an incident that's reserved for when we lay hands and pray. Faith is not an incident of any other kind where it's just something that we use or do at a time. Faith itself is a lifestyle. It's a way of living, constant, steady, right? Immovable. Faith is not something we do just when we have a problem.